It is that time of year, again, that we look into these verses, and like Kenyon said in his prayer, sometimes we think more about what God has done for us this time of year, when we should think about it all the time, but it has brought more to our focus as we focus on those things that He started the day that He was born. And so, again, we are going to be in another Christmas passage. This morning we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, so if you want to turn there, we're going to talk about those shepherds, but not so much about the shepherds, but we're going to talk about that angel and what he had to say that day. Because sometimes, and I know I've been guilty too, and there's nothing wrong with it, I guess, as far as it goes, so you don't say guilty, but you know, we talk about the angels, and we talk about Joseph and Mary, and that's rightly so, because they were the part that God used. But we also need to not miss the most important part of the passage. And so, we're going to read this scripture, and I'm going to start in verse 8, and then we're going to go back and go and see what God has for us today. So, if you read along with me. It says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Let's pray. Father, we just come before you, and I ask right now that you would take this familiar passage and you would open it up to us, open our hearts up to you, open our minds up to what you have to say. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would move among us today, that we would glorify you and honor you in the time that we have taken today. Lord, so little of a time that we give back to you. Lord, use it to glorify yourself, I pray. Help us to see what it is you have for us to celebrate and to live through. In your name we pray. Amen. I love the story of the shepherds, because they are normal people. And actually, maybe they're not even normal people. I guess they're normal people, but they were literally probably the lower caste people of society at that time. And they weren't rich and famous. They weren't religious. They weren't powerful. And really, if you look at the ones that he's talking to, we don't know specifically, but they were probably not the owners of the sheep. They were probably hired men. And if you're going to have a job, it's kind of like the night shift job. The last guy hired, the lowest guy on the totem pole, gets the night shift. And so that's kind of where they're at. And they're out in this field, and basically their responsibility was to watch over these sheep, these lambs. And these specific lambs were ones that were used for the sacrifice nearby. And so they were responsible to watch over these lambs so that when the time of sacrifice came, that they would be there and be available. And so they're out at night, and probably at best there might have been the glow of a campfire. And so you're going about your daily job, wherever you're at, whatever you do, and you're going about your daily job, and then all of a sudden, I mean, as different as a dark night and the sky splits open and the glory of God shines around them. Now, sometimes we want to think that that's just a light, but the Bible really tells us that the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, shines around these shepherds. And the presence of God, it's basically that Shekinah glory, that evidence of God's majestic presence is around you. That's never happened to me when I was driving a truck or when I was coaching on a ball field. And I'm saying it's probably never happened to you either. But think about that. If you're going about your daily work, not expecting anything special, and then all of a sudden, the God of this universe blasts His presence and splits open the darkness, splits open the silence, and an angel is standing right before you. Man, that next statement that angel makes, he couldn't have made that soon enough. I would have been so terrified. I'd have been so scared. And they were. It tells us they were terrified. They were not expecting God. Like I said, they probably weren't really religious people. They were lower caste people. But yet God chose to speak to them. And as He does, I want to look at this. Not so much the shepherds. That's pretty much covered the shepherds right there that we just talked about. But this angel, he says, "Do not be afraid." Too late. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Man, what a message he's going to deliver. Think about this message, because this message that he's going to share today, as we read through this with these angels are going to share. And I say angels, plural, because there's one, the angel of the Lord, and later there's going to be more angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts or angels come and join in. But here, as he shares this, I want you to understand what it's all about. So as we begin to focus on the message this morning, first of all, who is this message for? A lot of people, when they read the Bible, they say, well, it was for the shepherds. Well, the angel says that it's for all people. It's for all people. So why did he come to the lowly, these meek shepherds? Because what are they going to do but take it up? But if he shares that to those religious people, you think they're going to take it to the shepherds? No. So God had a plan that who he shared his word with, he knew that they were going to take that message to other people. And that's what eventually happens. So I want to ask this question real quick, and this is just a part of, not really a part of the sermon, but when he shared his message with you, who have you taken it to? There's a reason for him taking it to the shepherds first, because he knew that they would take it to others. There's a reason that he shared his word with you so that you might take it to others as well. So this message is for all people. Though it's shared to the shepherds, it's for all people. But let's look at that message. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." You know, this is one of maybe two places, I can't remember exactly how the other one's worded, where Christ, Savior, and Lord are in the same sentence in the Bible. There's Savior and Lord, and there's Christ, and they're put together in different ways. But for all three of them, this is one of the only, I think there may be one other time where that takes place. But this message, "For it's born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now we know he's talking to them. Who is this message for? It's for everybody. But what is this message really about? What is this message really about? As he shares, it's pretty simple. There's going to be a Savior born today. Why would a Savior need to be born? Because people needed saved. But you know, that's not what Christmas is about for most people. Man, we're celebrating Christ's birth. And it has nothing to do with the fact and the purpose that he was saved, or that he was born so you and I could be saved. So if there is a Savior born, people must need saving. Shepherds probably didn't really understand what he's talking about. And there are so many people out there that work with you and we're around at ball games and coffee shops and places where we work that have no idea as well. And they might as well be out in the pasture in the dark. And they need somebody to come and tell them. Here, God sent an angel. God may be sending you to that coffee shop. He may be sending you to that ball game. He may be sending you to your work to split their darkness. So we saw what the message was about. That a Savior was born. People needed to be saved. Where was it at? It says in the city of David. We just throw that out there sometimes. The baby was born in Bethlehem and it was there was no room there, and we know that, and they had to go there because of a census. But stop and think for just a minute. At the perfect time that she was going to have that baby, they according to prophecy, needed to be in Bethlehem. And they spent a lot of time other places. They spent a long journey on a donkey. But God set up the census. God set up the pregnancy, the moving, the going to the town, to where at just the right time, in the fullness of time, God ordained everything through His sovereignty that they would be in the city of David, because that's what He had already told them. This is how I'm going to do it. This is how I've set it up. And so where is very important. Because the where shows that your God and my God is in control of everything. Control of how slow a donkey walks. He's in control of how many people come into Bethlehem and take all the other places so that that baby would be found in a manger. God's in control of everything. And you and I focus on the celebration of just the birth. Stop and think about what He did before. How He ordained that. How he brought that all together. How He orchestrated it to where at just the right place and at just the right time, He set it up to where everything I told you, everything I've ever told you about this birth happened. God has never broken His promise. God's Word is always true. God is always faithful. You read His Word, expect it to be true. You read the prophecies, you better expect them to be true. So we've got the what, we've got the where, and the when is that He brought them at that perfect timing. The who is Christ the Messiah. Man, the shepherds knew that a baby was born. And this baby was going to be Christ, the Lord, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of Israel, the Lord of Lords, eventually the King of Kings. That's who was born that night. Is that who we celebrate on Christmas? Do we celebrate His sovereignty? Do we celebrate the fact that He orchestrated everything to that point, to that fullness of time, at just the right time when Alexander the Great had brought all the world together through what he had conquered, which God had ordained all of that. God had orchestrated that to where the known world was speaking the same, at least knew the same Greek language. God does all of that. And it's all in the where, the who, the when, and the why, because we needed Him. What a message. Think about that. He splits time just like He split that sky above the shepherds. And He comes down and His glory is there. And the angel says, "This is all done for you." How many of you think Christmas is for you? Have you ever thought about that before? Well, I'm not a big enough ego to think Christmas is about me. We celebrate Jesus' birth. That's what it's about. But why was He born? Because of you. If we miss that, then I think we're doing Him an injustice, because the reason He was born was out of love for you and me. Now, I'm not saying we are more important than Christ. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is the reason that Christ came as that baby was because He loved you. I'm not saying celebrate yourself by any means, but I'm saying understand that there is more in what this angel says. That message, there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, is only half of the message in this passage. And the one I want to focus on today is not just that, but the other half of that angel's message. It says in 13, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying." So the angel's got more to say. And he's doing it in praising God. He says, "Glory to God in the highest." Now this is one of those things that sometimes people just take this and tag it on to the end of the message. Or as they read the Christmas story, this is where they go to. And they just tag this, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." Man, we're missing so much in that verse. Look at this. The angels, the multitude of angels, and they use that word because no mind could conceive or count how many angels there were. And the angels from heaven, the multitudes come down to earth. And they're wrapped around these little shepherds. And what are they doing? Giving glory to God in heaven. That's what that verse is saying. Glory to God for what is taking place. Glory to God for everything that He has done in Bethlehem. For everything that He has done wrapped up in the birth of His Son. Give God the glory. That's what these angels did. Glory to God in the highest. This is not just some kind of a tag on like "Sincerely yours, the angel." And that's the way we read it. They are actually doing what you and I are supposed to do. Give glory to God. Give glory to God in the highest heaven in all of your praise. That's what they're doing. They're praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." You can take and translate that through the Greek, and it really leaves a lot to be read when it's saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens for what is taking place on earth." And we just use it as a "Sincerely yours." Man, if those angels are coming down, and who are they saying this to? They're saying it to God, but they're saying it so other people will understand that they are giving glory to God in the highest heaven. That's their responsibility. That's their duty. That's your responsibility. That's your duty. Now, this last part of that tag on that we use, "and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." Period. That's the way we do it. That's what we use it for. He's saying, "May peace be on the earth." That's not what He's saying. What He's saying here, what these angels, what these multitude of angels are saying, and I'm going to paraphrase it out of the Greek translation, it's, "Now peace on earth is possible through my God." That's really what this is saying. Peace on earth is now possible because of what happened in Bethlehem. Peace on earth on whom His favor rests. That's another translation. What it's really saying is, now that the Savior of God has come to earth, men upon whom that look at Him, upon whom His favor rests, can now have peace. We look at this verse as saying, well, everybody, we're going to have peace and tranquility now that God has sent His Son. That's not what it's saying. It's saying nothing about peace and tranquility, the lack of the lack of one man hating another man or you know, just stress in your life. That's not what that's saying. That's not what peace is. The peace that it's talking about is a peace that only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. If we look at, I believe it's Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I might have it marked here. I may have, may not. Let me check. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the angel's talking about. The only peace you can ever have is when you have a relationship with God. True peace is when a holy God, there's no hostility between a holy God and a sinful humanity. That's what true peace is. And that can only happen when we are justified by faith through our relationship with God. This angel is saying it's possible now. Peace on earth is possible now because the hostility between God and His wrath that is against sin and man in his sinfulness and his rejection of God, now because of my Savior, because this baby is born, it's possible to have peace with God. So read that tag on again, and let's don't look at it as sincerely yours. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. It's all possible because He loved you. Now, as Christians, we've read this story, we've heard this story all of our lives. We know the message that the one angel, the angel of the Lord, brought. We know about the Savior as Christ the Lord, and we know what He did. But He tells us here with the multitude of angels why He did it. We went through the who, where, when, and who for. But here is the why. The why is because He loved us, because God deserves glory. The God of heaven deserves glory on earth. And God wanted man to have peace with Him. He wanted to be at peace with man. And the only way to do that is to take care of the sin that's in our lives. We love that first part of the message. And we like the thought of praising God. And we want peace. But the only way we're going to get peace is but through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. He did this so that we could have that peace. So as a Christian, why am I not sharing that message? You and I are going to see people every single day for the next week that probably at some point within the last 2 or 3 hours have probably thought about Christmas. And in that 2 or 3 hours never thought once about God. I'm not saying that about everybody, but I'm saying that's what our society comes to. We come to the point of understanding that Christmas is about gifts and family and visiting. And those things are all blessings that God has given us. But what we've got to understand is that there are people out there, we in this room assume that everybody knows that it's all about Jesus. Several years ago, I was teaching youth downstairs. And we were talking about salvation, and we were talking about going to heaven, and this little girl raised her hand and she said, "Steve, do you have to believe in God to go to heaven?" And this boy that was sitting beside her, he just sat there. He didn't say a word. And we talked through the question, and youth ended, and the boy was still sitting there. He come up to me. He said, "Steve, I never dreamed that this girl that goes to school with me every single day didn't know that you had to believe in God to go to heaven." Changed that young man, at least his outlook towards other people. I assume that everybody knows that Christmas is about the birth of a Savior. They don't. We assume that everybody knows it's about bringing glory to God and worshiping Him and praising Him, but they don't. We assume that everybody has that peace with God, but they don't. You and I as Christians take for granted that because we know, and a lot of our friends know, the people in our circle know, we assume that person, they're in somebody else's circle, and that circle knows. That's not the way it works. He told the shepherds for a reason, because they would go and tell somebody. Man, think about that. They were told where to find the baby. Baby's going to be wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Probably something you're not going to see on a regular basis back then. So they were told exactly where to find this baby. And so in the next verse, in 15, it says that after the angels left, what happened? They went and did exactly. They went and looked for that baby. They didn't wait till the next day. It was urgent enough for them to go and find that baby. And they told everybody what had happened out in that field. How long has it been since you told somebody what happened out in that field when you first met Jesus? And this is a Christmas sermon, Steve. You're not supposed to be convicting me about telling people about Jesus. Yes, I am. It was urgent enough for them to get up and go and find that baby. Find that Christ child, that Savior and that Lord of all. If you're sitting out there today and you're a Christian, isn't it urgent for you to go and tell people? Could you imagine one of these shepherds just sitting back in the field, throw another log on the campfire? And that was a pretty good story. That was pretty cool the way the glory of God came down. The angels came and multitudes came. And then they left. Well, hey, how many sheep do we have? Go on with their life. It didn't happen. Because the presence of God had been there and had motivated them to go and tell people. Go and see Him and then tell people. Oh, well, I met Him 37 years ago, right back there. Go and tell somebody. Man, you've got an excuse. It's Christmas. And if you're sitting out there and you don't know Him, this angel told the shepherds, hey, this is how easy it is to find this baby. You go into Bethlehem, and in a manger, probably the only manger you'll find that'll have a baby wrapped in clothes and cloths and lying in a manger. Man, that's pretty simple. If you don't know Jesus Christ, it's pretty simple. It's ABC. Admit you're a sinner, believe that Jesus Christ died for you, confess your sins and commit your life to Him. So it's ABCC, I'm sorry. But it's really that simple. And it's that urgent to go and meet Jesus. We're going to close this morning. But I want to do it in the sense of this last verse. Give glory to God in the highest. So pray with me real quick if you would. And I know this is not the way we normally do it, and I don't care. This is the way we're going to do it. Father God in heaven, we want to give you glory for everything in our lives. Lord, for the family that we have, the friends that we have, the church that we have, Lord, in the problems we have, the difficulties we have, the stress we have, because that's what turns us to you. Lord, we want to give you glory for everything in our lives, good or bad. Lord, right now I pray for everybody here that we would give you glory. That the God of heaven, the God of the highest heaven, would receive glory and honor today through our lives. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, God, be pleasing to you. May you receive glory and honor. Amen. And then I want you to go away from this place in peace. There's only one way to do that. Well, you can say, well, Pastor Steve, I'm already Christian, so I have that peace. Do you live like you have that peace? Is that peace focused at the front of your mind? Is your relationship with Him your focus? Because that peace may be hidden way back in there, buried under a lot of problems. But bring it to the forefront. Focus on it. Live with that peace. And if you don't have that peace, today is the opportunity. Why would you want to go away knowing that the stress of this world is out there when you can have peace with God through Jesus Christ, through a relationship with the Creator of the universe? That's the only way you can have peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you so much for your word. We thank you for the blessings that you give us. Lord, watch over us today and always that we would seek to honor you, that we would draw people to you, and that we would tell people about you. Lord, more than anything, help us to love you. Help us to be where you want us to be. Help us to seek your will. Lord, I just pray for peace. In Jesus' name, amen.